would not. And Lazarus was there, not this same Lazarus, same name. The name means God has helped. But it's very interesting, in that ministry, those that were destined to hell said to Jesus, if somebody would rise from the dead, and if you would send them back to these people, surely they would believe. But we find here in this text, that's not the truth. Follow me a little bit further. We see a couple of people, Mary and Martha. Mary in the scriptures is always at the feet of Jesus. You'll find out in our upcoming study in 12, she's the one that anoints Jesus' feet. And Mary is doing that while Martha affirms her faith. Even in our text today, in chapter 11, and we'll find in verse 27, in that one verse, she uses three titles for Jesus. She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I have believed, and I keep on believing. I like going to bookstores, Christian bookstores. I mentioned the other night. In Seattle, there's some rather large ones. But what I noticed, and not just recently, but over a period of time, most of the books in the inventory, good books, but most of the books are about how to. They are about how to. And the very small section having books like this, or the one that you may be holding, are about him. Jesus is making it clear to us today that our lives need to be about him. When our lives are about him, we really will not be reaching for the book about how to, because we have the book about him. And what he's showing us in this count in John chapter 11, it's the last miraculous sign he does on earth in John's gospel. It's sensational. Lazarus is going to rise from the dead. And there's just a few things that we want to demonstrate here. And the first thing is to show through the word of God how Jesus demonstrates his love. Again, if you look in chapter 11, the text that we read, if you'll notice in verse 3, therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. The point we need to establish in our hearts, it's not so much our love for Jesus, it's his love for us. You love Lazarus. I could say with absolute confidence that God loves you, not just in a statement that we would accept as doctrinally correct, but God loves you. And when we talk about delays in our life, when things aren't happening, when we pray and we ask God for help and it doesn't happen, and there's a sense of a delay, we wonder, does God love me? We wonder where God is at. I always loved watching the TV series, I Love Lucy. I do. There's some specific episodes, and I went to one yesterday because I was thinking about our lesson. It's when she's in the candy factory with Ethel. You know that one? And there's a conveyor belt going by with candies on it, chocolates. And as they go by, Lucy and Ethel have the responsibility of reaching for the chocolate candy, putting it into a wrapper, and then getting it ready for sale. So the conveyor belt is moving and the candies are coming along. Everything seems to be with a good time. It's synced up. It works perfectly. But a few moments later, the conveyor belt is moving quicker and there's more candies on them. Do you remember this one? And they're starting to do it, and candies are going by, and they're grabbing what they can, and they can't keep up with it. And the supervisor's coming back in. And as the supervisor's coming back in, they pretty much snatch up all the candy, put it in their clothes, on their hat, and in their mouth, and are just there. And the supervisor goes, good job. Mm-hmm. And their eyes are bulging out. Say, what's that have to do with Lazarus? Not a lot. It's just a good commercial. I think a lot of things, actually. I've never known life to go as fast as it's going right now for everybody. It is going so fast for everybody. For everybody. I mean, I was just down with my mom in California helping her move, 86 years old. She doesn't have time to do all the things. Are you kidding me? Things are going by, and we can't keep up. And we're overwhelmed. And we're frustrated. We kind of hide it and pretend like everything's good, but it's not. It's not good. And Jesus understood this. And that's why he put this account in here for many reasons, but I'm just taking one little nugget today, more in a devotional teaching than our normal expository teaching. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In a specific way, he stayed at their house. They reached out to him with hospitality. They were a key part, I think, of the ministry. In my own mind, it's not in the scripture, but as I see their lives and as a testimony is given to their lives, I would think that when Jesus would need, he's fully God, fully man, but a place to rest, he'd go there. There wouldn't be any great demands. They just would take care of them. I mean, we've seen, you know, Mary's going to pour ointment on. Martha serves. That combination is there. Lazarus, the testimony of Lazarus has been going on for over 2,000 years, and I've yet to find any words he spoke that are recorded in the Bible. In other words, his life was a living testimony. Many of your lives are like that in a very strong way. Jesus is away. He's a two-day journey away, according to the scriptures. Lazarus is sick. And I thought about that word sick, and because we use sick and it can imply a lot of things, but investigating the word sick, it is very weak and in a terminal condition. Lazarus is in that condition and we need help. And Mary and Martha send a messenger to Jesus. We've been with Jesus in his earthly ministry. We've cared for him. We've been a place of refreshment. We've been with him. We've seen others. And the animosity against him, that's not our hearts. We're there with him. We've seen him help people that are paralyzed. We've seen him cast out demons. He's walked on the sea. He's fed multitudes of people. Lazarus, your friend, is sick to the point of death. Help Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he stays where he's at two more days. And maybe some of you say, what is that all about? And you think of your life. And you think of the things you've been praying for. And you think there's been no answer. And you begin to look at your life and you think, you know what? I go to church more than they go, and they get the blessing and I don't. Man, I know that guy. He is a rascal. I mean, he says he knows Jesus. He doesn't know him like I know him. And look at, it's like his prayers are being answered and I'm in the doghouse. What's with this, Lord? Why the denial? Why the wait? What am I doing wrong? Jesus says to them, he's going to come. He's going to come. You know, you investigate this a little bit more like I did, and this is a very interesting thing. How many days was Lazarus in the tomb? The Bible tells us four. 4 days in the tomb. It took 1 day for the messenger to get to the location where Jesus is. And he came back Jesus was still there 2 days, 4 days. I proposed to us today that when the messenger gave word that Lazarus is sick, he already died or was ready to die. I mean, they didn't have, you know, cell phones with pictures that they can send back and forth. That's what happened. In other words, Jesus knows things we don't know. Jesus knows about our life and our future. We don't know. He knows. And with that knowledge, listen now, with that knowledge, I'm convinced, with that knowledge, he wants to provide his very best for each one of us. He wants to provide his very best. I mean, could any of us ever say that God never gave me his very best? That God gave me kind of the leftovers? We never would say that. He wants to provide his very best for each of us. But the hardest thing is waiting. It is the hardest thing, isn't it? I've seen some of you drive. I know it is. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is difficult. And because that conveyor belt with all those expectations and things going on now and trying to keep up with everything, we're overwhelmed. But God's not overwhelmed. When we look a little bit further, not only did he demonstrate his love, but he declares his glory. And God wants to be glorified in our lives. God's delay for Lazarus is for the greater glory, the great glory of God. That's what the delay is all about, the greater glory. If he answered that prayer request remotely, which he could have done, with thy word, Jesus could have cause Lazarus to stand up and walk. Just with his word remotely, he's done that. But we would not be talking about Lazarus today. We wouldn't be talking about the great glory that God gets today. We wouldn't be talking about, I don't want a life about how to. I just want a life about him more than ever before. Whether it's a young little girl, Tessa, saying, I want to leave here praising God in another way. Or someone like George proclaiming, things just seem different getting out of that water because of the act of obedience. God wants to be glorified in our lives, and that's why we have to yield to him. Jesus uses these times to develop our faith. That's what he's doing. He's doing it in Martha's life. He's doing it in Mary's life. He's doing it in our lives today. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts. Jesus delivers us from death. Listen, all of us still are going to die unless we're raptured to heaven. So no matter what sickness we may be healed from or delivered from, have we been delivered from the sting of death? And the answer is yes, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's going to come down here where Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. Do you believe this? Jesus laid it out on the line. He claimed himself to be the resurrection and the life. He's going to demonstrate it through Lazarus, who is totally and completely dead, and no one denies it. No one denies it. If he healed at a distance, people would say, well, he was kind of sick, but he was going to get over it. Listen, he's absolutely dead. And Jesus, before he goes to the cross, the final miracle on earth here in John's Gospels, I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And because Lazarus is raised from the dead, you know I can conquer death. And you know I can give life. And you know I can give eternal life. He delivers us from death. For if the dead do not rise, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 19, Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep, that means died, in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're the most pitiful of all men. That's what Paul is saying. If Christ did not rise from the dead, Christians are the most pitiful of all people because we've put our faith in Jesus Christ And if there isn't salvation or resurrection from death to life, we are the most foolish. However, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well pleased. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you that. But I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and get you and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be always. Jesus declares his power, so we will believe. We see it in verses 15 and 16. It says, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. I want to propose something right now. That as you're facing the disappointments and the frustrations of delay, can we bring that to the Lord? Can we say, God, the reason I'm frustrated is because I think I know better than you know. I think I know better. I think I've got a better answer or a better way. Lord, I've prayed and I've given you enough time. I don't know why you haven't answered. And I'm not certain what God's answer might be, but I just like to say this. I know when I have that kind of communion with God, that conversation with God, he'll generally start off by saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I've never not loved you. I love you. I want my best for you. What you're stretching for is what you want. It may be good, but it's not my best for you. I want my best for you. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I'm going to prove to the whole world that I am the resurrection and the life. But will you trust me? Because in due time, you'll be thankful. Joseph had the dreams and he told his father and his mother what God had imparted into his heart. But he never realized the reality of that until he was 30, but he was a teenager when it happened. David was a shepherd boy. He was anointed king, but spent years out with the sheep until that came about. God will always fulfill his promises to you, but in his time. But in his time. Amen. Let's stand. The worship team has one final song for us. The worship team, as they come up. And as they're coming up, I'd like to pray. Father, we're grateful again for this morning. And we understand, Lord, that you are sovereign in our lives. We ask God for your forgiveness, where perhaps we have been doubting. And Lord, we've been discouraged. But it really gets to the point of saying, Lord, it's not about the situation or other people. It's about me and you. And I ask for your forgiveness. Renew my heart. Renew my love for you. I need you, Jesus. I don't need to have a lot of people telling me how to. I just need you. I just need you. In Jesus' name, amen.